For president in Iowa, she was still not allowed to debate. She says since the number of candidates has been decreased by 8, she should have been able to be on the stage Saturday night. The next Republican debate takes place this Saturday night in South Carolina on CBS. Michigan Governor Rick Snyder will not be in front of a U.S. House committee this week. He has declined an invitation to testify about the Flint water crisis because he's due to deliver his budget recommendation to the state legislature that same day. A spokesman for the governor says there'll be several recommendations to address the Flint crisis in the budget. The Senate last week approved spending another $30 million in the city. This is USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Brett Favre knew this day would come, but he hasn't been losing sleep over it.
Brett Favre says he never spent any time worrying about getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There was no need to. And now that he's going in, the former Southern Miss star says it feels good.
It's exciting. I don't know what else to tell you, but and certainly I'm honored.
Favre joining other Mississippi legends like Walter Payton and Jerry Rice, becoming the state's 10th Pro Football Hall of Fame honoree. Randy Bell in Jackson.
The Super Bowl is once again setting ratings records. Last night's game was the second highest rated Super Bowl ever, falling just short of last year's game. Nielsen reports more than 110 million people tuned in to CBS to watch the Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers. Last year's game broke the ratings record when the New England Patriots took down the Seattle Seahawks. The star of the Super Bowl halftime show is going on a world tour. Beyonce announced her upcoming Formation tour right after her performance Sunday. It'll kick off April 27th in Miami, and then she'll perform all over North America and Europe. Tickets go on sale February 15th. A massive cruise ship is on its way to Florida after getting rocked by a powerful Atlantic storm yesterday. Passengers on board Royal Caribbean's Anthem of the Seas were confined to their cabins as massive waves and high winds tossed the ship. There were reports of water coming in through doorways, furniture overturning, and smashed glassware. The ship is carrying more than 4,500 passengers from New York to Florida and the Bahamas. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The weather today will be mostly cloudy with a high near 41. Northeast winds at 6 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight, snow likely, mainly after 3 a.m. It'll be cloudy with a low around 26. East winds 6 to 8 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New snow accumulation of less than 1 inch possible. Tuesday, snow likely, mainly afternoon. Cloudy with a high near 33. Northeast winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, becoming calm in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 60%, with new snow accumulations of less than 1 inch possible. Tuesday night, snow likely, mainly before 1 a.m. Cloudy with a low around 28, calm winds. Chance of precipitation is again 60%. New snow accumulation of around an inch is possible. Wednesday's a chance of snow showers, mainly before 9 o'clock in the morning, and it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 37. West winds 5 to 11 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 30%, with little or no snow accumulation expected. Wednesday night will be mostly cloudy with a low around 21. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, where we're at, is we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses. And we try to help families who have someone either in their family or someone they know. It doesn't even have to be blood relative who is suffering from a mental health issue. We do this in various ways. We teach a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week, totally free. Everything that NAMI does is free. A 12-week class trying to educate families and caretakers of what their loved one is going through. And we deal about all the mental health issues. We deal about medication, side effects of medication, what to say, what not to say in crisis situations. And again, it's totally free. And if we get enough people, my wife and I are going to start teaching it the 13th. The 13th of the month, this month, which is, I guess, Thursday, and from 7 to 9:30, and it's at East Main Street in Flemington. And if you just reach out to us at namihunterdon.org, and you can sign up. And we also run support groups for families who just want to, just let it out a little bit, you know, and talk to people who have been there or are going through the similar situations and so on and so forth. Anyway, today we are very privileged to have with us Mike Skinner, who I keep wanting to say is from Maine, but he's actually from New Hampshire, right, Mike?
I am living in New Hampshire, sir. That is correct.
Okay. Well, I always want to say Maine. I don't know why, but anyway. Well, maybe if you were in Maine, it wouldn't be snowing up there where you're at right now.
I think it's snowing there. Actually, southern Massachusetts is getting it harder right now than we are.
Well, that's what they get for living in Massachusetts, you know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway.
Why I moved north.
Yeah, exactly. Not up to Maine, though. I have to keep looking at the sheet here to say New Hampshire. But Mike is a public speaker. And he's a writer on trauma, abuse, and mental health. And he's a singer and songwriter from New Hampshire. Mike and I met, about 2 years ago now, I guess, maybe a little longer, at a NAMI conference. And we talked and stuff.
2014.
Yeah, okay, so it's a couple of years now. And I just want to speak a little about Mike. He is a nationally known award-winning advocate, educator, and critically acclaimed singer, songwriter, guitarist, and a survivor of horrific child abuse, addressing the issues of trauma, abuse, and mental health concerns through his public speaking, through writing, and his music. Mike has spoken at the National Press Club. He was a keynote speaker for a conference held by the United Nations. Mike's role as a consultant and trainer for the federal government's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administrations, the National Center for Trauma-Informed Care and Mental Health Services, has been crucial in helping to shape the policy initiatives and directives for the delivery and implementation of trauma-informed care and services. Mike, again, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come back on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being asked. I'm always humbled and honored when folks ask me to be a part of their own endeavors.
It's it's just amazing because I will explain a little later, but I have heard Mike's singing. I have heard Mike, some of the music he plays. And when I say he is quite an accomplished musician, I am not exaggerating. He really is. I'd like to talk about your newsletter, but I need you to talk to me first and explain to me what is the trauma-informed care.
Well, trauma-informed care, I don't make up these stats. This is the research, and you get this from the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration and several other major organizations. they know that 90% of folks that are receiving services at mental health centers are, in fact, dealing with trauma. That's huge. So, again, that question, and again, I don't ask people this question, but the whole idea that if we're rethinking how we look at things, and so if we, when we meet someone or if we're working with someone, family or as a therapist, counselor in the work setting, wherever it may be, to start thinking to ourselves, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you? So that I think is one of the first parts of the trauma-informed care. Now, the whole trauma piece has been huge the last several years, and I'm glad that that awareness is getting out there. But trauma-informed care is not just taking one or two classes or some awareness program and then saying, oh, yeah, we're trauma-informed, we practice trauma-informed care, because it is not, because so many times they're still blaming I'll just say it, they're blaming the victim or shaming they're not really giving true care,
right,
which is trauma-based. So there's several layers to that. So there are those that are doing it that, again, looking at how best to help the person who has been impacted by trauma, abuse, and mental health challenges, and how to work with them so that they're not re-traumatizing someone. Just even, you know, trauma-informed care, how you, when you walk into the facility, is it a friendly place, or is it, you know, is it depressive? I mean, I've been into hospitals where you go into the section where it's for the folks receiving cancer, and it's state-of-the-art. You go into that same hospital where it's for those who are struggling with depression or something else, and you think you've just walked into a third world zone.
Exactly.
Area of the world. So that's not trauma-informed care. That is not. That's just, you know, that's, again, it's just keeping the stigma going, and that you're not valued. So if folks have been through trauma, how can we help folks to feel better about themselves, how to empower them? And part of that, there's so many ways, you know, holistically to heal. And again, I'm not an anti-medication person. I'm anti-over-medication, because there are folks that are dealing with trauma that do take meds, and there are those, like myself, we don't need to anymore. We have other ways,
sure,
modalities to help us cope. So
right,
just really taking time to assess that, okay, someone's been through hell and back, and then not just look at them as an illness. That's just me talking as a human. And that's, you know, so I push this a lot, because when I realized what happened to me, it was the trauma in my life that caused, you know, the post-traumatic stress and depression,
sure,
in my life to surface, you know. So I don't know if that helped give you a...
No, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Do you find that having... providers who are also peers help the people who you're trying to help?
That if someone, here's the, this is key, Larry, this is what I have found in others. I think everybody in the world has somehow been impacted by something in their life.
Right.
You call it trauma or abuse. I think that's true of all of us. But those who have been impacted by it and have done their own work, who've really addressed their core issues, yeah, they make a great counselor or medical provider, peer support specialist, whatever it may be. But if they haven't addressed their own issues, they're just going to keep re-traumatizing us and themselves.
Right.
Now, that said, if someone has a caring heart, they're empathetic, and they're a good person, I don't think they need to have experienced what I did in child abuse. Help me to heal. If they just value me, I'm talking about myself personally,
right,
as a human being, I don't want folks to have some of the experiences I've had. I haven't survived the war zone, but I could listen to someone. I can care. I'm not a soldier, but I'm not some of these refugees, you know, the crossing the Mediterranean and losing children or anything, but I could be an empathetic listener. So I think we can still help other people, but I think it's how we approach it and how we deal with it.
Right.
But yeah, if someone's a peer and they've done their own work, yeah, I think that goes a long way, because then they've walked in your shoes.
Well, you know, that's what I find with NAMI, that, you know, we basically have three different types of people in NAMI. We have, like myself and my wife, who have a loved one. Our youngest son is schizophrenic, has been for the last 19 years. And then we have people who have a mental health issue and maybe have been hospitalized a couple times, but are living their life to their fullest in spite of their illness. They have jobs and families and so on and so forth. And then we have the third person is the kind you were saying before, that they just want to help, and they're very mm-hmm. caring, and, you know, they haven't had mental illness. But I think if you look back in their history, maybe not their parents, or maybe not even their grandparents, but if you go back far enough, you'll find somebody back there in their family that had it, you know. But it basically, when someone comes to our support group and they hear that we've gone through it, it makes it a little easier for them to open up about it.
Right.
And, you know, I know someone who is a school teacher here locally, and she's a music teacher, and she has traumatic brain injury and right. post-traumatic stress, and she cannot remember anything prior to age 20.
Wow.
And someone had said to her, why don't you go down to Fort Dix and McGuire Air Base and talk to the vets? She says, well, I'm not a vet. I wasn't in the war. And they were pushing her, saying, no, but you have the same problems that a lot of the vets do. You have traumatic brain injury. You have post-traumatic stress. So you can just go and talk to them. Well, she did. And she's been doing it for, I don't know, I want to say about 8-9 years now. And they love her because they can talk to her. And it doesn't matter that she hasn't been in Afghanistan or Vietnam or wherever.
Right.
But she has the same problem they do. And that's what, you know, and they find it comforting to talk to her. You know.
Very nice.
And that's kind of cool, actually, you know.
It is.
When people suffer abuse, and I don't want to, you know, linger on that too long, but how does that impact their every facet of their being? It has to affect everything, doesn't it?
It does, and it, again, the severity of the abuse, you know, how long was, you know, chronic, but and one incident is one too many. For myself, you know, I deal with the post-traumatic stress, and they've told me it's complex and it's chronic and all that other good stuff. You notice I don't use the word disorder anymore, because I don't feel I have a disorder.
Right.
It happened because I was abused, and I experienced a lot of horrible things. Even something as simple as today and working on some things, I deal with the, you know, because there's so many layers to trauma, just like with a vet or a rape victim or car
sure.
accident. For myself, when things get stressful or something, a feeling or a memory, and sometimes I don't even know where it comes from, Larry, it brings up something inside of me, and so then I dissociate. Now, for me, it's not, I don't go into another personality or something. It's spacing out. It's like I'm numbing out. And the thing that has helped me with that now is the mindfulness. I'm aware that it's happening, so I don't fight it. I don't like it. Trust me, I don't like it, but it's very, because it's confusing. And so that's something, I deal with that daily, and it, you know, I'm on a roll, I'm working on stuff, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's like this cloud rolls in.
Mm.
And that is frustrating to me. That's a daily thing. You know, folks who've been abused, it affects our ability to trust other people, to have a relationship, and not just of a close romantic type, but just even, you know, being able to sit down, say you and I met somewhere, to just sit down and have a cup of coffee.
Right.
You know, someone may want to sit down with you, Larry, but if they've been so hurt, they're afraid to, so we miss out on opportunities. I've been on the healing journey for a long time, and I'm good with that, with reaching out and connecting with folks, but there's still a huge part of me that, again, I'm talking about me, who still isolates, because I work from the home, and I do go out and when I travel and stuff, but I work from my home, so there's still a lot of keeping to myself, and I'm aware of it, so I work at it.
Right.
So your trust is broken. So you talk about trauma-informed care, that ties right in. How can we help rebuild someone to have trust again? And one of the worst things that we can do for someone who's dealing with trust issues, abuse issues, mental health, they're going to see a counselor. They've developed this nice rapport. They're starting to trust them, and then the powers that be decide, oh, no, we're going to switch you to someone else. That severs that whole bond, that trust that has been built up. That is not trauma-informed care. That is, you know, so I'm tying that in because it just came to me because I'm thinking about this, because the whole thing is we're trying to build connections with people. And so what you do down in New Jersey, what I'm doing here in New Hampshire, what others are doing, you know, nationwide,
right,
worldwide,
right,
in our neighborhoods, I think the key to this, just as you mentioned this teacher and the vets, building a community of caring, and that is huge. So we can reach people, but when folks have been severely abused, Larry, it's really hard to reach them. It really is.
Yeah, I would imagine it is.
A lot harder.
I would totally, imagine that it would be, because their trust is totally shattered.
Right.
And, you know, especially if the abuse was by someone that they respected or loved or, you know, related to or whatever, it totally shatters their trust. And it would be very hard to trust again.
Right.
Anybody, you know. So I can understand that perfectly. You know, it's just, I don't know. It just, you know, there's very few things that I get very upset over. Child abuse, rape, things like that. I just give them a fair trial. If you find them guilty, give them a fair trial. If they're guilty, then shoot them, because I don't think it's worth keeping them alive, you know, because I don't think they're going to change. But that's my own personal thing, and I don't want to hang on to that too long. But it's just the way I feel. I have no respect for those people. I have no, you know, nothing that they could say or do would change my mind, you know. But anyway.
What I would like, I try now to focus what I do with my advocacy and trying to raise awareness. I really, and I'm not alone in this, but how can we get to the prevention? You know, again, so
right,
we don't, you know, we can, that we break this cycle that, you know, in a couple generations, we have a lot more healthier people in the world than what we have now. Because I think so many folks going around today are traumatized. And, you know, when you think about bullies, I mean, bullying, that gets a lot of talk now, and rightfully so, but most bullies have been bullied by someone else, so they're just acting out. So how
right
can we get to them to prevent them from becoming, you know, to carry on that, to break that cycle?
It's true. I don't know, but, you know, it's something that we basically have to work on to get, because, you know, how are we going to stop it, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if we can't figure out a way to prevent it, it's going to continue to go on.
I think one of the easiest things, it's not so easy, but just talking about the fact that you're asking me about it, I mean, you know, kudos to you, Larry, and those that have the show and allow you to do this, because there's a lot of places that don't want to talk about this stuff. So I agree, uncomfortable to talk about or to listen to, but darn it, if we don't talk about it, we're not going to stop it.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's just like getting people to understand mental illness. It's the stigma that's attached to it that prevents people from understanding it because they look at it, oh, well, you know, if I said my son had, you know, cancer or, you know, whatever, everybody go, oh, Larry, what a shame. How can we help? You know, you want some food? You want that? Can we do that? I say my son is schizophrenic and everybody takes two steps back and looks the other way. You know, it's just.
How sad that is.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And we're very fortunate because my son is now doing very well, but there's so many others that aren't.
Right.
You know?
Well, there was a startling, I remember learning this many years ago, because, you know, I'll read certain research and studies and stuff, and I just remember bits and pieces of it, because I'm not going for a doctoral, you know, candidate.
Right.
But when I... And again, sometimes you read it's 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people will deal with a mental health challenge sometime in their life. That's pretty huge, but this is even, this is disheartening. 2/3 of those folks will not seek help because of the stigma and discrimination.
Right. Exactly.
That is horrible.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's true. You know, it's like, they don't want to be, I don't know what you want, what's the best word, I'm at a loss for words, but they don't want to be separate from the population. And, you know, if they say they have mental illness or they have depression or schizophrenia or bipolar, they're not the same as their buddies. And, you know, so they don't want that known. And therefore, they don't get help.
Right. And with all the distorted baloney out there, with the and the media is part of the problem. Everyone, so many think now once they hear a mental health, or they tie in the words mentally ill with violence. It's so far removed from the truth, but yet that is what is perpetuated. So, of course, folks.
That's what sells newspapers and gets on the television and all that, you know.
But people are going to be afraid to get help.
Right, exactly. I have to take a quick break, Mike. We will be back in just a minute, so hang in there. Don't hang up.
I shall.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and Mike Skinner is our guest, and we will be back in just a moment.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
100 Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.100andhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Mike Skinner, who is from New Hampshire. I got it right, Mike. I always want to say Maine, but, you know.
Well, maybe it's confusing because I am originally from Massachusetts. Maybe it's the Mass. We're all in New England, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know what it is. Or it's my, you know, mental block against New Hampshire. But
small little state.
Yeah, right. Mike is a public speaker, and he's a writer on trauma, abuse, and mental health, and a singer and songwriter. And believe me, if you would listen to hear Mike sing and write music and listen to his songs, you would be thrilled as I am. Mike also does a newsletter. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the newsletter, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. This is quite timely because I've been working on this today, trying to wrap it up.
There you go.
February issue.
How did you get the idea for a newsletter?
Well, this would have been back in the mid-90s, Larry, probably like 96, 97 when I was learning to use email and look at the websites and all that stuff. And I was also traveling the country as a speaker or performing, but again around the issues of trauma, abuse, and mental health. And one of the things that was really amazing to me was the amount of folks that I was meeting who were so creative with all the labels, you know, bestowed upon them.
Mm-hmm.
That they wrote books, they were artists, they were musicians, or they were incredible advocates, they were writers, or an organization just doing great things or a little peer support group, whatever it was. And I'm thinking, wow, how many people know of this? Because we don't really learn of these things. So I started out by calling, I would share maybe 6 to 8, I call them resources, information, and I'd share their website, or now it's a blog, whatever, of the organization or the individual, whatever it was that they were doing. But again, the key thing to this, you know, had they been impacted by trauma, abuse, and mental health, and how they were turning that around to help not only themselves or others. So that was the out of it, and what I called it back then was Survivor Friends and Friends of Survivors. And I think I started out with like 300 or 400 people, and it's grown to several thousand over the years, but it literally reaches tens of thousands of people now every month, and it's grown. So
wow, that's awesome.
It goes into a bunch of other countries. It reaches, well, obviously the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, Switzerland, many parts of Europe, Australia. Again, I'm reading from the website. New Zealand, Japan, Kenya, Ghana, Israel, Jamaica, South Africa, Cameroon, Puerto Rico, Iceland, and Thailand. So it just keeps expanding, and I'm excited. And what's nice is I share with the subscription list and these different organizations. They then turn, pass it on to others, so it's just
right, you know, right,
the paying it forward. And yeah, so that's how it started. It was just to show that, hey, other people are out there doing things, because I know when I was overwhelmed, I just felt so alone, and then I started saying, oh no, other people are doing things. So there's many reasons why I wanted to do it, but just to show, again, sharing hope, healing, and help.
Yeah. And I tell you, since I have gotten on your list of recipients, I love getting it.
Thanks.
I get it. I read it, all the way through when I get it. And it's just, I just think it's awesome. I got to ask you, how long on an average, say, does it take to compose it?
You know, when I'm, say like when I sent out January, I was already compiling stuff for February. And then what happens is I'll get a bunch of resources, then newer stuff will come in. So then there's the juggling act of what do you cut,
and what do you put in, huh?
I cut out because there's so much stuff. And I think you can see that I really want to present a balanced newsletter, a little of this, a little of that. And not everything may be something that is my full cup of tea, but I don't want it to just be the Mike Skinner worldview. I want it
right.
to be a little of, just different things. With people, sure. Just so we can think outside of the box. I know that cliche gets overused, but to just share as much as I can. So I always, so I'm doing the February, and I want to wrap this up by tonight, maybe tomorrow at the latest, but it's several days of, there's a lot, because I go to all these sites, Larry, I read the articles, I look at someone's web, if it's
right,
a book.
Right, right. And that takes time.
It takes time. So I'm not just grabbing a link and then sending it off to folks. I'm actually taking time to read it and
get
a better idea
right.
of what it's about. And then you see I share the links and all the rest of that. That's tedious. It is time consuming, but it's a labor of love, and I do enjoy sending it out. And I thank you for being on the mailing list. I'm on it, and I thank you for also, letting folks know about it. So
well, I tell you, I always find it so interesting that there's always sayings from various people.
Yeah.
Some you've heard of, Mahatma Gandhi, and some you haven't,
Right.
And I read it, and I'm impressed beyond belief. But then again, where the heck did he get these from,
It's a multitude of it's many, many layers. Like last week, because then I'm on a bunch of Facebook groups, and I look at things there, and then someone sent me an email with something, and they had a quote on there, and it was their own quote, and I wrote right back to them, because can I use your quote?
Yeah.
Or credit? And so this is just, no one famous, so I've done that through the years with the newsletter. Someone, makes up their own little thing or whatever.
Right, right. Because like I said, some of them I've never heard of, and some right. are very famous people, and I think it's awesome. I really do. I just get such a great feeling out of reading the quotes. Obviously, the articles also, but the quotes just, to me, they're just awesome,
I've always loved a good quote, because you think about it, it encapsulates in a sentence or two a whole powerful way of thinking, some statement. It's just, and it's thought-provoking. You say, wow, that's pretty cool.
Right, right. It is, I'm going to say something. People ask me, well, you teach family to family, you run support groups, you do presentations monthly. In fact, this coming Saturday, this other lady and I from NAMI are going to Princeton, to the Princeton Seminary, and do a workshop on mental illnesses, myths, and so on and so forth for the Episcopalian ministers and deacons and helpers and so on and so forth.
Right.
And they say, why do you do all this? And my answer is standard. It's always the same. If I can help one person or one family, then it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm sure that you also feel that if one newsletter or one song that someone heard you sing, or one presentation you gave helps one person, then it's worth all the time and effort you put into it.
It is, because I take this belief that I cannot undo what I've gone through, but Donna, if I can help reach one person to help offer a little, again, the hope, this healing, this help out there, that, and just reach another person, you know, sure, in our own little neighborhood, or maybe the neighborhood is someone over in England or something, that's great, you know.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
It is. It's touching someone.
And that's what it's all about, helping people. And if we can get one person or help one person or steer one person towards improving their life because of their, you know, in spite of their mental illness, then that's what it's all about, and that's what's worth it, you know.
And you know, part of, as I was mentioning on the newsletter, I could actually send one out daily because there's so many great resources, despite all the, and there's some horrible things out there, you know, going on in the world. That is true, but I still have the belief that there's more good going on in the world, and I try my in my own little way to share that, yes, there are some good folks out there, there's good organizations, there are some good things happening despite the horrors, the hurts,
right,
of the world. And
right,
I don't have, you know, the rose-colored glasses. I do know that there's some, you know, tough things going on. Just economically, it's hard for so many people. I mean, that's putting people in depression, you know.
Of course.
But if we can share that, you know, what someone else may be doing, or like I say, an organization to help other people, I mean, that's great. Case in point, you know, last month or the month before, maybe the month before, just showing the organization that was built around folks, you know, homeless, and then they start a newsletter and all the rest of it. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
huge.
Right.
They started a business out of that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's, talk about inspiring.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, I'd like to talk a couple minutes about music.
Sure. I love music.
I know you do. And I know it's very important to you. Do you find that when you're in stressed or whatever, that if you play music, it calms you down?
Yes, and there's a couple parts to that. Sometimes it's picking up the guitar and playing, because I play the guitar and sing.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, I started, you know, like drumming at the age of 10, and that's how I made, you know, a good part of my living for a good chunk of my life. So if I don't sit down at the drum set, I have a nice set of congas. There's three of them. I just, you know, I play away on those. Or sometimes in the evening, I'll just pick up the djembe and just tap away. Or sometimes, Larry, so again, this is, yes, the music helps me because the drumming is huge for me. Sometimes just standing at my counter looking out into the woods, and I'm playing, you know, I call it my little drum set. It's the sink, you know, it's the counter.
Right, right, right.
And, but all of that is helping me.
Sure.
So, yeah, music, and sometimes just I can listen to some nice music or some soothing music. Sometimes even, you know, I like, my, you know, the rock and roll is going to help me. But if my head is really all over the place, it's going to be more the soothing stuff. But I have learned that the drumming helps me to get out a lot of negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also playing the guitar. Sometimes I sit down and it turns, it can change my whole behavior around. Or sometimes I can just sit there and play some sad chords.
Yeah.
But well, it helps to get those feelings out.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic because I had a couple ladies on the show, I don't know, a while back, and they were from Carrier Clinic, which is a private hospital. I don't know if you're familiar with it here in not too far from here. And they were saying one was an artist and one was a musician. And they were saying that a lot of times when their patients get stressed, either the music or the art calms them down. And they don't have to be great artists, you know. They're just like, you know, drawing stick figures or whatever, you know. Because that was what I would draw, you know, because I'm terrible with art. But, you know, they say it calms them down. And I find that just pretty interesting, really. So, you know, that's why I asked the question, because, you know, you have to do what works for you.
Well, anything in the creative arts, Larry, is going to help you in your healing.
Right, exactly.
And like you say, if sitting down and drawing stick figures, if that's getting out some whatever emotions and energy, so be it. You know, do it. And then, because not everyone is a gifted artist. Not everyone
right.
can pick up the guitar and play. But you can play an instrument. I, at some point, when I get a little more technically proficient, I want to start making some YouTube videos and stuff, and just showing folks how to do some simple drumming. And if they can't afford a drum set or a set of congas, take an empty coffee can, and I can teach you some basic rhythms. But and that's not only is it fun and you're getting out some energy, but they have the studies showing how that left, right, left, that back and forth, that's helping you to heal. It's making
right.
connections to different things. So that is something I want to do down the road, and I'm going to work on that. So.
They tell me I can't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow, so, you know. But, yeah, you know, it's like.
You can do this.
Yeah. But you have to go with what works for you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, similar, there's a young lady out in California who's calls every now and then on her, you know, for the show. And she suffers from severe depression and bipolar. And she told me the first time, she said, I don't take medication. I said, okay, what do you do, you know? She says, well, I exercise a lot. I run and, you know, and I'm into holistic. I said, okay, does it work? She says, yeah. I said, I keep doing it. She says, you're not going to tell me not to? No, I'm not going to tell you not to. First of all, I'm not a doctor. Second of all, it's working. Why would you want to stop? You know,
right.
I says, the only thing I will say to you is maybe down the road, you may have to think about a medication if whatever you're doing right now fails to work 100% for you. But right now it's working, do it, you know, and that's what I tell people, you know, if walking a dog calms you down, go walk the dog, you know, or sitting on your deck just looking at the trees or the sky, whatever helps, you know.
And nature itself is healing, you know, the green, those
sure.
green colors.
Absolutely, you know.
You're talking about music. One thing that I've been working on the last couple of months, and then when you spoke about you're going to be reaching out, you're going to be presenting to some clergy
mm-hmm.
and stuff. I've put together this act, if you will, of just playing music, let the music do the talking, and I'm calling it Songs of a Survivor. And I'm going to do two sets, and I want it, you know, I'll let the songs do the talking about what I've been through in life, but again, the hope, healing, and help. But that is part of what I want to do, is I want to reach folks that aren't really aware of what we take for granted every day, you know, so the churches, schools, businesses, and, you know, of course, for me to take it on the road, I need to be compensated for it. So trying to find that strike that balance where how can you get paid for something to
right.
go do it, but also bring forward this idea to share how to reach people, but again, using the creative arts. And for me, creative arts is, you know, music.
Right. Sure. Sure. You know, everybody that suffers any kind of abuse, trauma, mental health issues, they have to go through a healing process. How do you work creativity into that healing process? If they're not an artist, they're not a musician of any kind, what do you suggest to them?
I gently disagree with folks when they say I'm not creative. Everybody is creative in their own way, their own manner.
Okay.
I think sometimes people do not look at what they do as being creative. Do you like to cook? That is creative. Do you like to work in the garden, growing flowers, you know,
That's my wife's job. You know?
There's a multitude of things that are creative. Do you knit? Do you crochet? All these different things. I think sometimes people just, they think of the famous people or someone that can, you know, play an instrument mm-hmm. or paint this beautiful piece of art, or they can write this, you know, bestseller. Not everybody can do that, but you can. Everybody has a gift. You know, there's folks that can sit down on the computer and they get all of that. That's a gift. That's creative. Can you build a website for someone? I mean, that. I think you're creative if you can work with God. I think people underestimate and undermine their own talents and gifts.
I think you're probably right.
Every one of us has a talent. We all have a gift, and tapping into that. So, yeah, that's what I say. And I know you joke that you can't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow, but you can do something with music. If you just listen to music, that's being creative. You're in the process. You don't have to go out and perform for people, you know?
Right. Well, I couldn't perform for anybody, you know, with music, but, you know.
When I get a gig down in New Jersey, I'll invite you upstage.
There you go. And I'll say, gee, Mike, it's nice meeting you again. Have a nice day, you know.
I'll pass you a tambourine.
Yeah, okay. you know, healing the heart through creative arts. How did you... Surviving Spirit get its start, and explain what Surviving Spirit is.
Well, again, that came about because I was sending the newsletter out. I do go out and do my presentation, so I do get work from that. It, you know, everything I started out doing was just voluntary, and it just led to people, you know, hiring me to present around the country and do different things, and I'm grateful for that. So the Surviving Spirit, I kept thinking, boy, I'd like to take this to another level beyond just, you know, what I can do with the energy. So the idea was to start a nonprofit, to get a board of directors and take it to a higher level, and to actually get a physical space. Long story short, worked at this for several years, have had good board members and all the rest of it. We've never been able to get the funding and the rest of it. So I've just, in the last, 2 years, I just look at what the Surviving Spirit has morphed into, Larry. It's a clearinghouse of resources. So you have the newsletter, then you have the website with all the resources. Once upon a time, the dream was, the idea was to have a physical space that people could do stuff, people could walk in off the street, they could buy a book that was written by someone with lived experience, they could purchase a piece of art. Maybe we could have workshops, wanted to have a space for folks to perform, wanted to have a coffee house. So there was this grand vision. It was a great dream. It never happened to the way that myself and a few others wanted to, but, you know, the newsletter still goes out once a month, and we have the website with all the resources. So now it's a clearinghouse. Someday, if, you know, ever come into some big money or something, we can relook at that again, but... So the Surviving Spirit was to try to take it to another level.
Have you ever thought about getting a grant?
Tried going after different grants.
Okay.
Do you want me to give you my tale of woe?
No, I've been there. Or NAMI has. I won't say I have, but NAMI has.
Right. But yeah. Going after grants it's a lot of hard work. But you get people that are professionals, mind you, can do this. They don't submit the grant on time, or they submit it in the wrong format, or they've done, you know, so several of those, and I just got very disheartened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand that, you know.
There's a lot of work going into it.
So, right. Absolutely.
And that's not really my strength. I'm not a grant writer. I can find where the grants are, but I'm not a grant writer. That's not my strength.
Right. Like music isn't mine.
right. But, you know, there's someone that can sit down and they can whip out a grant, and it's like nothing. I can sit down and play the guitar, but I can't sit down and write a grant.
Right, right. Would you tell us how to get on your website for anybody that would like to, or your Facebook page,
sure,
or any other information you want to give out?
Absolutely. The easiest way to find me, it's mskinnermusic, all one word, .com, mskinnermusic.com. You can also Google Michael Skinner Music Mental Health Advocate. That'll bring me up. But it's mskinnermusic.com. The Surviving Spirit, that's easy to find because that's survivingspirit.com.
Right.
Survivingspirit.com. You will find it. We also have it .org. But just Google Surviving Spirit, enter that. Both of those sites will come up, and from either one of those sites, there's the Facebook link, there's the Twitter account link. So I'm pretty easy to find, I guess. And they can call you and get. I'm a public figure, so yeah, mskinnermusic.com.
Right.
My email is mikeskinner@comcast.net.
Well, Mike, I can't tell you how happy I am that you came back on. I've read your story, and you've told me, your story. And I am just simply amazed that anyone has that much courage and strength.
And
I can tell you how much I truly respect you and your work. And, you keep saying that, like you have a long driveway. I could bring my pop-up up and park it in your driveway. With my luck, I'd be in Maine looking for you.
But you can call me and I'll direct you.
If we decide we're going back up to New Hampshire, I will give you a call, even if it's just to meet for a coffee, But I can't tell you. I would love to have you back on again. I want you to stay in touch. I want to keep getting your newsletters and, email, back and forth, whatever. I just really appreciate speaking with you and hopefully being considered a friend of yours, because I consider you a friend of mine.
No, I'm honored. It's unfortunate the reasons that we've all met, but you're one of those special people in my life now, because we are building a community of caring.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
When you think about it, that's pretty cool. So I'm honored with what you do, and to have me ask me to be a guest, I'm honored, because there's 1,000 people out there that you could ask to be on the show at the same time. So,
well, I just think what you're doing is awesome. And I promise you, you will be back on, and we will
be in
touch.
All right, thanks.
All right, Mike. You take care. Have a good week.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And just think, folks, we're closed next week for the holiday, but we will be back in 2 weeks. And you've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
It's now threatening any country taking part in airstrikes in Syria. A new video out today warns those attacking Syria will suffer the same fate as France, and specifically threatens an attack in Washington, D.C. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Another expert on Social Security is urging older Americans to hold off on taking their Social Security benefits. Kristen Arnold, a policy analyst at the National Academy of Social Insurance, says there's a good reason for waiting until